down here this morning, it got a little more light. For some reason or other, I can see a little better.
How about that?
Yeah, imagine that. But I also feel, I don't know, a little closer to you guys. Standing up there, I always feel like in a men's meeting, I like to come down here because there ain't many of us anyway, but it doesn't matter. But I just feel closer to you because I am closer. Imagine that. It's good to see everybody this morning. It's good to be here. This morning, if I had to put a title on what I want to talk about, is Seek Your Calling. It's something that the Lord laid on my heart several years ago that when I got born again, of course, that was a major thing in my life. It was a major change and a life-changing event in my life. But after a while, and I'm not going to use the phrase it wasn't enough, but after a while, I knew that there was something more. And I didn't really know exactly what to do except to ask the Lord, you know. It wasn't like I felt empty or anything, but I felt like there's something missing. And the reason there was something missing is I was not seeking my calling. And one day Brother Scotty was preaching and he said something that struck my brain. And, you know, he said it a lot before. So faith starts where the will of God is known. Well, I knew I had faith being born again, so where do I go from there? So I started seeking the Lord. And the more I started asking and seeking, the more I got. Because it says plainly in His Word, seek and you shall find. Ask and it shall be given. But your calling is something that's really important. If you wanted to put the purpose, the definition to it I want to talk about this morning, it is the customized life purpose that God has ordained, which means established and ordered, for you to accomplish to expand His kingdom and give Him greater glory. Now, a lot of people, even Christians, and I want to we're kind of going to draw a line here between your calling in your life and your calling in the kingdom may or may not be the same thing. Everybody in their life has a calling. God has a set purpose, and I'm going to show you in Scripture, for an ordained, I mean, He ordered it. He has plans for us even before we're born. He has things in store for us. It says it plainly in Scripture. We've heard before. I'm going to point out again. And there's three things I want to go over about it. But there's a lot of people, even Christians, they're living unfulfilled, unfruitful, unhappy lives because they either don't know about or they won't seek their calling, they won't ask God about it, or they just plain, you know, I hate to be mean, but maybe lazy. A lot of people want to just come to church, and then when they come through the doors, they come to church when the church, you know, every service maybe 4 years. And that's all they want to do. God has more in store for us than that. God has things for each and every person in His kingdom because the kingdom of God is within us. And Sister Teresa has taught us plainly about the body of Christ. And we'll hit that scripture too. Well, you look at it this way. If your whole body needs what it needs to operate and you don't have an arm because the arm is not seeking its calling, then the body is not operating fully. Same thing in the kingdom of God. And even so more so with Christians because God, number one, God has set a special purpose for born-again Christians. Everybody, Christian or not, has a calling. Now, that's evident in facts like people will do things. In my train of thought, I like to use this analogy because I'm a guitar player. It is my calling. I'm a born-again Christian, and I get to work my calling within the kingdom. There are people that are called to play the guitar because it's evident. There are superstars out there that are not born again, and there are some that are born again, that are musicians. They're really good at it. People pay to hear them play and sing and do their shows on stage, whatever it is. They are operating within their calling, although they're not seeking it from the Lord because they're not born again. But whenever you get those two things together, oh, man, that's where God's favor that Brother Scotty preaches about, God's power and our authority and walking in love and all this stuff and our faith all comes together. And it's an awesome thing. The calling that God's placed on our life is customized. It's one and only designed specifically for you. Now, other people may have one similar. That's evident in and outside of the kingdom also. We got a lot of preachers that are called to preach. We got a lot of evangelists. We got a lot of pastors. Now, some of them may be called and some of them may not be. I'm not questioning anything about that. But those that are operating within that, they have that specific calling. Brother Scotty has a calling to be a pastor. He said that. It's evident in his life. It's customized for him. God has a plan for him set out for him to do that. There are other pastors for other churches, for other congregations. God has a plan set out for that pastor. Same thing for each and every one of us. It is customized to us, and I can prove it to you in Scripture. And it's customized to maximize glory to God and expand His kingdom. That's what God has set up for each and every one of us. Now, what is really awesome, if you don't even want to get into the mechanics of this through the Word, is that God has all of this set up before the foundations of the earth. Now, a lot of people, I'm going to go off on a side tangent here for a minute. You ever heard the word foreordained? There's some people that's really mixed up about that. They think that there's only a certain number of people that are meant to be saved, which is wrong because it says, I got the scripture later in, that God, I think it's in 1 Peter, that God wishes all to come to repentance. All covers everybody. Now, there may be a certain number because not everybody's going to choose the Lord. I'm not saying that. But God didn't say, okay, when 1,305,000,000,000 person gets born again, that's it. No, it ain't like that. But for the group of believers that want to seek His calling for their life, He has a foreordained plan. He has it set in motion before we were ever in our mother's womb. The Scripture bears it out. There's three things I want to, I hope I've got time enough to cover it, to bring out about your calling. Number one, it is a created purpose. Number two, as I said just now, it's a customized purpose. Customized meaning meant for you, meant for me. My calling may be similar to somebody else's, but it's not for them. Your calling may be similar to mine, but it is not for me. And number three, it's a comprehensive purpose. The word comprehensive means wide range, broad. In other words, it ain't just about me. My calling's not just about me. It's not just about you. It's not just about us. It's not just about this congregation. God has a full view of everything. I'm going to just use the word infinity because God sees everything. And He has everything foreordained for a purpose for us, for our calling. Now, to start with, it's a created person. The reason we were made was to fulfill our calling and our purpose to do what? When I said beginning, to bring greater glory to God and expand His kingdom. That is, it's a created purpose. If you live your life without calling, it's like an example. Like everybody knows where the Dead Sea is in Israel. I'm sure you've all heard of it. It's really, 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 really high content salt water. There's no animals in it. There's some crazy people that like to go and soak in it every once in a while, and you can't stay in it very long. They say it does something to help skin. I don't know. I've heard about that. I don't know all about it. But I do know you can't stay in it very long. It is so has so much salt, it's actually use the word caustic. That means it will harm you. It won't take long to do it. But there's no life in it. None. No creatures. Nothing whatsoever. And if you also notice another interesting point, it's also the lowest point on earth, meaning stuff comes into it, but nothing comes out of it as far as water. God did not mean for us Christians to live a Dead Sea life. He did not give us the air we breathe, the life He breathed into us, the rain to sustain us, the things that we have here on earth to sustain us. And then being born again, He did not, as I was just talking about all this stuff, He did not send Jesus here to pay the high price He paid for us to be a Dead Sea Christian. Now, God does want everyone to come to repentance. That's your first step. And you might say, well, what's the next step, Brother Monty? Well, when I get done, it's going to be the same thing right here. That's the next step. God's Word says, seek and you shall find. Jesus said it. Ask and it shall be given. And He's talking about life in the kingdom of God, and it comes from the Word of God. Beth, would you please put the first one up, Genesis chapter 1, please. We're talking about it's a created purpose. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, it's where God starts all the creation process. It says in the first verse, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I skipped a whole bunch down through there because I've got a lot to talk about and I'm going to have enough scripture to this. But we're going to start right here. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly and swarm with living creatures, and let birds fly over the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. And God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves, which the waters brought forth abundantly according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, suitable, admirable, and He approved it. Will you put the Genesis 1:14 up first, please? That's the one I wanted to start with. I thought it was at the very top. Well, anyway, it's all right. The idea of it's a created purpose is God didn't create things just because He was bored. God didn't sit around one day and say, well, I'm tired of sitting here on this throne, and, you know, let me create something that's going to give me some pleasure. I'm bored. No, He didn't do that. He has a purpose for everything in His plans. So we see in those verses that He created the seas and the animals in it for the purpose. What's the purpose? The sea is for the animals that He made for the sea. And then He said in verse 22, and God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and what? Fill the waters in the seas, and let the fowl multiply in the earth. So in the earlier parts of the chapter, He already made the difference between the water and the earth, the firmament, and He also made light and day. But it says here, what is their purpose? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the waters. And then He said, let the fowl multiply in the earth. And there was evening, there was morning, a fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creeping things, wild beasts of the earth, according to their kinds, and it was so. And God made the wild beasts of the... Now, why did He create them? God made the wild beasts of the earth according to their kinds, and domestic animals according to their kinds, and everything that creeps upon the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good, fitting, pleasant, and He approved it. And then, when God saw that it was good, He made the animals. In other words, the purpose He made the animals was to be fruitful and multiply on the earth, to fill up the earth. Then He says, God said, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make mankind in our image, after our likeness, and let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in His own image, in the image and likeness of God. He created them, created him, male and female, He created them. I'm going to go back to those first one. Verse 26 says, up there, that God said, let us make mankind in our image. And He did. Mankind is a triune being, just like God is a triune being. What does that mean? You have your body, which we call flesh, your soul, which is your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. That's three beings inside of you, three parts, three phases. We have God has God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. It's a likeness. It's a type. Well, why did He create us? There's a purpose. This is the first purpose. Let them have authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the tame beasts, and over all of the earth, and over everything that creeps upon the earth. As Brother Scotty likes to say, and it's rightly so, let them rule. Man had dominion. Okay, Beth, go on. And God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth, and subdue it. There's the rule, have dominion over it. Using all of its vast resources in the service of God and man. And have dominion, there's more rule, over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves upon the earth. So we see God had a purpose when he started creating. Everything he created had a purpose. It's not just something he was trying his hand at or something he was practicing because he was bored. He has a purpose. And we all know, you know, after he created man and give him this order, instruction, what happened? You know, disobedience came in. Man relinquished rule to Satan over the power of this earth and all of that. Now, it's not that that's not important, but that's not what I'm talking about. In other words, God gave man a calling at that time. That was his purpose at that time. And we all know what happened with it. Now, I want you to notice just for, it said in verse 27, we read, God created man. He created them male and female. If you're created a man, you're a man. You're a male. If you're created a female, you're a male. I don't care what you think. I don't care who tells you that. I don't care what you feel. God had a purpose to do it, and we need to fulfill that purpose, especially born-again Christians. Now, as I said before, God created man for a purpose. If we've seen in the scriptures, he didn't tell Adam or man, well, y'all just hang out here, you know, and Athena, whenever she gets a little bit confused or she don't know what to do, she'll go like this. No, God didn't mean for us, and especially Christians, to walk around like this. Trust me, it's not fulfilling. It's not fun. At some point, I mean, it may be okay for a while, but at some point, you're going to get, I'm going to use the phrase spiritually bored, because your spirit is saying you need to do this. I want to do this because God's called us to do this. And your soul, your mind, will, and emotions not listening to your spirit, and it's not conforming to God's call for your life. You're living in this world, so if you're, there's, in other words, there's no gray area. Just like with being born again and lost, there's no gray area. You either are or you aren't. Just like your calling. You are either in it and doing it or you are not. And I thought about that one time whenever I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I kind of feel like I'm in between. And he told me, he said, no, son, you're not in between. You're over here and I need you to be over here. And then I had to ask him what I need to do, Lord. Well, my problem is I'm slow about asking the right questions. Now, you don't have, God ain't sitting there asking, waiting for you, oh, boom, yeah, there it is. But he does want your heart toward him. You cannot sit around with your mind on this world and things of this world, even if you're a Christian and you attend church every service, and even if you do things in the church, now, don't get me wrong, it's good to do things in the church and do ministry in the church, but you could be doing things that's not inside your calling. You would be much happier if you're doing the things that's inside your calling that fulfills it. Don't get me wrong. I ain't telling anybody not to be doing anything for the church. I ain't saying that. It's good that we do for the church and we do for the body and do for God's kingdom. What happens is if you don't happen to be in where God wants you to be, you're in a position where God can steer you and put you where he wants you to be. But my point is, there is a reason. It's a created reason. Our calling is a created purpose that God put out for each and every one of us. Now, have you ever heard a Christian say, because I've heard a lot of lost people say, what's the meaning of life? Why am I here? What am I even doing? If a born-again Christian says that, I feel... I won't use the word, you know, the slang word is I feel sorry for them, but I don't. It grieves me. It hurts me for them because I've been there. But a born-again Christian, when that starts being the question in the back of your mind in your life, you need to start asking God what he wants you to do. And he will show you. I'm telling you. The reason being, you cannot tell yourself what you want your calling to be. I mean, you can physically say, well, I want to do that. And I'm going to go do that because I like that. You ever seen people that work a job that pays a lot, but they are miserable? But why are they there? Because it pays good money. What are they after? Exactly. Now, if you're working a job that is, you know, in the calling that God's given you, outside of, you know, his kingdom congregation, which you can do, because I do it. I like driving a truck. Now, don't get me wrong. Some days I don't like it so much. But after I get some rest and get, you know, recharged, I'm okay with it. And I don't like driving it the way my bosses say I need to drive, you know, go here, go there. I like just getting a truck and driving around. You know, I like riding around in a big truck. I don't know. I just do. Brother Scotty likes to operate heavy equipment, tractors and stuff like that. But there's some people that will do things that is outside of their calling, and they can't understand why their life is so miserable, especially Christians. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go quit your job because you think it's outside of your calling. You know, you need to get before the Lord and find out these things. I'm just telling you what the Word says. Now, the reason is we are created beings. We are creatures. God created us. Now, if he has the purpose and he is the creator, who are we to start picking out the created, the lesser being, what he has in mind for us? How can we do that? The only way we can is if we know what, you know, here and here, what God's given us, what God is telling us. That's the only way you can do it. If you're operating, I will say this, because I've done it before. If you're operating, and I'll tell you one thing, I had a job paid real good. I'm an example of that. 2013, wasn't it, April? I was a manager for 13 years in the trucking business. I am not called to be a manager. I'm going to tell you that right now. I am not called to be a manager. I've been a supervisor and a boss, whatever you want to call them, managers, whatever, a long time, off and on in my life. But in trucking business, I was a manager for a trucking terminal, sometimes as many as 100 drivers for 13 years and as little as 25. That was the most miserable 13 years of my life that I can ever remember. I hated it. I didn't like it. But I stayed with it because it paid $60,000+ a year. I liked the money, but I hated the job. And even though I was not born again, I was not operating inside the calling that the Lord laid out for my life. I was not designed to be a manager. When I got my job where I'm at now, I told my manager, my boss, I said, look, I've done this, 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 and I've done a lot in, you know, 28 years of trucking business. And I said, I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you what I know. But I do not want to be a trainer. I'm not called to that either. I don't want to be a manager. I don't want to be in supervision over anybody except myself. Because I found out I'm not called to do that. That is not one of the things that God has in store for me. And even though sometimes my job is a pain, you know, whenever I leave my job, I don't have to be responsible for what 100 other people are going to do or not going to do for the next ever hair amount of time, 24 hours. When you get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, oh, I can't make it into work today, and you got to find somebody to fill that spot, that is not fun to me. It's not fulfilling. So what I did was, me being the created creature, I picked out my calling because I picked it out for the wrong reasons. God had a different purpose for me. He has a created purpose for me. So we see that we can't tell ourselves what we want our calling to be. You might get, it's about the only time I'll ever use the word lucky, you might get fortunate and get in the same spot God wants you, although it's not likely. A born-again Christian should always seek the will of the Lord for their life, especially their calling. Now, calling means, as I said before, we are the created. We're not the creator. So if we're the created and we have a calling made by the creator, there's a calling. Right? Okay, if there's a calling, that means there's a caller, right? We're not the caller. For lack of a better term, I mean, the correct word would be called. I was going to say callee, but I don't have the best English in the world anyway. So therefore, we can't pick and choose. I mean, you can. Don't get me wrong. You can physically say, I want to do this, and I'm not going to do nothing about that. Well, go ahead. But if you get in front of God and say, Lord, I want to do what your will is for my life, especially in the kingdom, it's going to set you on the right path. Number one, it's going to put you at peace whenever you start having problems inside that calling. Oh, yeah. A person that's operating inside their calling, you can tell. Number one, it's not grievous to them. Number two, they're happy about it. Number three, they're eager to do it. And it's not always easy. Is it, Brother Scotty? Is it Sister Teresa? Is it Brother Johnny, Sister Samantha, Sister Doris? It's not always easy to do your calling. Sister April, Brother Monty, no, it's not easy all the time. But if you're operating inside your calling, guess what? You have this five-letter word called grace. And God told Paul, my grace is sufficient. Now, when he told Paul that, he wasn't only talking about for that specific problem. He's also making a broad statement. Whenever we're operating inside our calling, God will give us grace. But when we're operating inside our calling, we're doing what God says to do, we're being obedient, but we've got a problem. And we operate inside our calling, we have a problem, and we say, Lord, I've got a problem, help me. God will give us grace. He says, my grace is sufficient. In other words, he's saying, I will help you. I'm going to help you. Just, you know, calm down. I'm paraphrasing some. And when that happens, it's awesome. Because every time a born-again Christian meets any kind of obstacle in their life, and God answers that obstacle and clears that obstacle and answers their prayer and fixes whatever word you want to put with it, we have the victory already. We see that victory. We apply it to our lives, and it makes us stronger in the kingdom because we're operating inside our calling. So therefore, we see we can never really discover our calling outside of God. The world thinks that they can. I'll be honest with you. I never even thought about calling. What I want to do over here make me happy. What I want to do over here make me happy. I've had houses, cars, motorcycles, couple, three guitars. Don't get me wrong, guitars make me happy for a little while. But all of it together was not fulfilling in my life. A born-again Christian will never be truly fulfilled until they know their calling, because if they know their calling, they're operating in it, they're operating in God's foreordained purpose for them. And God will bless it. The problem is, for a lot of Christians, they want to operate outside their calling if they're operating in it at all. If we only exist to operate outside of our calling, we're going to be the most miserable of creatures. I was. I figure it's going to be the same for everybody else. It also limits God's power in your life. Brother Scotty tells us, it says in the Bible, the Israelites limited the Holy One of Israel, meaning God. You can limit God in your life. O Holy One of God. Righteous One. If you're born again, you're made righteous through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you can limit God in your life. I'm a testament to that. I hate to say it. But we all have to learn. And you do it in small steps. But when you're going in the right direction, you know when you take that next step, even if it's in faith and God has it ordained and you're inside your calling, you're like, giddy up, go, buddy. I mean, you're unstoppable. You feel unstoppable. I don't know. The only thing man has to put on is called emotion, but it's supernatural. And when that supernatural thing happens inside of you, any of you here that's ever experienced it knows what I'm talking about. And whenever a born-again Christian, even though they don't realize they're limiting God in their life, they get frustrated. I did. I said, I'm a born-again Christian. You know, Lord, what do I need to do? I started getting frustrated. And I found out real quick what it means to submit yourself to God. You can say, I'm submitted to God, I did. But to be submitted to the Lord, especially in this area, you have to let go of everything in your life that's hindering this plan God's got for you. You can't think about playing a guitar at that time. Like whenever I'm studying and reading God's Word, I don't think about playing a guitar. Everybody here knows how much I like that. I love it. Yes, I do. I mean, you say play a guitar, boom, Brother Monty's already got everything. He's ready. That's my calling. But whenever I'm doing this, this is also my calling. The difference being that whenever I started asking God, God gave me the calling to play my guitar, but He also gave me, and you can have more than one thing in your life to be called for. Now, don't get this mixed up. I'm not talking about spiritual gifts. Sister Teresa covered that very specifically. You can be called for that, but what I'm talking about is the calling. It's there's something inside. It's a plan that God has put together. And whenever we don't operate in that plan, we limit God. When we operate in that plan, then guess what? The opposite happens. To the corner to use a phrase in Malachi 3:10, which I believe it will apply, although we're talking about tithing, if you're operating in the will of God, I believe He'll open up the windows of heaven and bless you and bless us. So, once you get to that frustration point, if anybody here ever gets there, I'm telling you, it may seem so simple. No, that's not all I got to do. Yeah, it is. Get before the Lord, as Brother Scotty says. My daddy used to tell me that too, and I wouldn't listen to him. I'd say, Daddy, I got this problem. Have you talked to the Lord about it? Well, no. Well, see, that's the first thing you need to do, son, is talk to the Lord about it. And that's the first idea I ever had about that. And then when I got born again, guess what? I'll talk to the Lord about everything now. Sometimes I forget a little bit, and then I go back and say, okay, Lord. And even if, you know, it may seem small to everybody else, and I asked the Lord about it. I said, Lord, what do I need to do about this? What do I need to do about that? Because number one, whenever you do that, you're submitted. You're submitted to His plan. You're submitted to His will. And if you're that, you'll be submitted to His answer. And then the frustration, guess what? The frustration goes away. The fear goes away. The problem that you're facing at that time will go away. Now, I ain't saying problems won't come, because Jesus told us we're going to have trials and temptations and persecutions. Notice all of those have an S after them. That makes them more than one. Now, whenever you do not limit God in your calling, there's nothing anymore in your life that will fulfill your life anymore than operating in God's calling for your life. It says, we put Jeremiah 29:11 up, please. I know we all know this. I'm sure we can all quote it. This is God talking to Jeremiah. But I like to use the scripture. Paul says all scripture is good for doctrine, for reproof, and for instruction in righteousness. What is this? The scripture. And even though he's talking to Jeremiah, God says, for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord. Thoughts and plans for welfare. That word welfare there means, you know, your outcome and peace, and not for evil. To give you hope in your final outcome. In other words, to give you the hope to see that victory He's already made for you. He's already made these plans for us as part of our calling. Now, the opposite's also true. The next one, Proverbs 29, please. It says, where there is no vision, I like these next few words, no redemptive revelation of God, the people perish. But he who keeps the law of God, which includes that of man, blessed, happy, fortunate, and enviable is he. So if you're not operating in God's will and calling in your life, then you're not going to have much, if any, redemptive revelation. And what does that mean? To get revelation from God, where does that come from? The Word, reading the Word, prayer, fasting, all of these things that we're taught to do from the Bible, by our pastor, by our Sunday school teacher. In other words, you get revelation from God when you're doing His will. His will is the called plan He has set out for you. When you operate outside it, you're outside this vision. And whenever you're outside this vision, you'll inwardly start perishing. Now, you might say, well, I'm not dying. No, but your spirit man is. You're not feeding it because you're not getting what God's wanting to give you. And then the last scripture, Jeremiah 29:11, is what happens when you seek that. So if the born-again Christian that's not wanting to seek and find out the calling for their life, they're going to lose vision. They're going to get frustrated. A lot of times that's what leads to people not going to church anymore, backsliding, or not doing anything for the Lord. And most of the time, if they get too empty, they're not even going to come to church. I mean, I ain't going to say that they won't, but most of the time they probably won't. Because you ever took two magnets, opposite poles, they attract. If you put the two poles together, they fight each other. A born-again man that's living out there in the world and not seeking God and comes into a spirit-filled church and service is going to be like those two magnets. And without exercising God's calling in their life and God's word in their life, they're probably going to go away from it. And it's not easy to live like that. And I did a little while, and I was thinking, Lord, I know I'm born again. I know, you know, that there's got to be something that I'm not doing. What is it? So I submitted myself to the Lord, and He told me. Jeremiah chapter 1 and 5, please. Now, God tells us in this verse, this is a message also, that He called us in advance. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. Once again, God is talking to Jeremiah in the Scripture, but it is Scripture, and we can also use it. So God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew and approved of you as my chosen instrument. Now, this is where I was talking about a while ago. God wants all to come to redemption and be born again. Once you get born again, you are approved as His chosen instrument. You're made righteous to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're called into the church and the body. And God didn't mean for everybody to be called into the body. If everybody's called into the body and didn't do anything, what would happen? We wouldn't have a pastor. We wouldn't have a Sunday school teacher. We wouldn't have a food giveaway. We wouldn't have praise and worship. Why would we even come and sit here? We'll sit here for an hour and a half, look at each other. What's going to happen? Is the Holy Spirit going to come? Not like that. God says, I approved of you as my chosen. I like that word chosen. Because that's where the redemption, redeemed. I am redeemed. I'm bought back from the curse of the law of sin and death. I was given a victorious life. God has a plan set out for me. Now sometimes do I get away from it a little bit? Yeah, sometimes. But whenever I do and I realize it, I get back real quick. And no matter what it is, I'm going to follow it as much as I know how. But as long as I read this, God's Word is simply Him talking to me on paper. But it happens supernaturally inside me in my spirit. And He says, and before you were born, I separated and set you apart, consecrated you and appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Now, that's His specific thing for Jeremiah. Those words could be stand out, boom, to someone. If that does to you, then I would say you get before the Lord. It doesn't to me. Now, the first part does. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't to me because I'm not a prophet. I'm not called to be a prophet. But I am called, number one, to be a man. That's what God made me. And we've seen in Genesis chapter 1 what I'm supposed to do. And in all of that, I'm supposed to be a husband, a father, and a born-again servant and child of God. Now, a man cannot be called to be a mother. A mother cannot be called to be a father. Now, don't get me wrong. They are people in this world. There's probably Christian people in this world, I'm sure, that has to operate in that arena. Single-parent families, for whatever reason. And all I'm stating is, I'm a father, I'm a grandfather, I'm a man, I'm the leader of the family. I might have an idea of what it is like to be a mother, but I'm not called to do it because I'm not a woman. A woman might have an idea of what it's like to be a man and teach her fatherless son that's absent for whatever reason. But she is not a man. She's not going to have the calling that God placed on men to do that. And that's the reason why it's important for everyone, especially born-again Christians, to know what your calling is. If you're a man in this building this morning, that's your number one calling, be a man. What does that mean, getting God's word? Number one, he wants you to be a kingdom man. He wants you to be born again. He wants you operating inside your family, leading your family in his ways, teaching your children, your grandchildren, and making sure all this happens. He told Abraham. Abraham did it. He told the children of Israel. That's what they're supposed to do. If you're a mother, a woman, number one, you're a woman. Now, I can't, except for the Scripture, tell you how to feel and what to do because I'm not a woman. I can tell you what the Scriptures say. If you're a woman, you're going to be a childbearer. You're going to have children come into the world. You're going to take care of them and nurture them. You're going to be submissive as a woman of God to your husband. And we've all, I'm not getting on the side tangent on that because we know what that is. So therefore, even if you're not born again, every person does have a calling. Number one, if you're male, you're a man. If you're female, you're a woman. You're a father, you're a mother. So it's a created purpose. You might say, well, I'm not happy doing that. Whatever it is, and I'm not necessarily talking about man and woman, but whatever you're doing in life, it just don't make me happy. Number one, you're probably working not in your calling, especially in the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. You can be inside your calling and doing what you're supposed to in the kingdom, and something will come up and you won't be happy. I ain't talking about problems. I'm talking about a really grievance thing that, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. Frustration is the number one thing that would drive, be the sign of that. Psalms 139, please. I've got to hurry. I ain't nowhere even on number two yet. David said, I will praise thee, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that my soul knoweth right well. Paraphrase. If you look it up and search it out, fearfully means reverently. It means I'll praise thee reverently because you have made me so wonderfully. Well, I don't have to get into that. And we're made like that for a reason. We're all different from each other. Everybody is different. Now, you may have, you know, similarities in looks to the in genetics in your family, but you're all different. And God has a reason for that. You might say, well, what is it? Because he has a different calling for each and every one of us. Let me ask y'all a question. I don't want anybody to raise your hand, but, you know, nothing personal against me, I'm sure, but I know everybody don't want to look like me. You know, act like me. I get that. If you did that, I'm nothing personal toward anybody else. I wouldn't feel special. I'm special to God because I am who I am. He made me that way. And I'll praise Him for it. Now, do I like it all the time? No, I'd like to be 6 foot to nothing. Or 6 foot to something. Tall. You know, I'd like to see the top of the refrigerator. Without standing in a chair. I'd like to be able to reach a light in the ceiling without getting a chair and maybe something else standing on it. Now, bless your heart. I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to have to close. I'm going to have to take this up at a later time, and I'm going to. Now, one of the reasons we're all different is because God loves us and He's got a different calling for each and every one of us. We're talking about being different, talking about me. This morning, we're going down the road and the air conditioner's on and April's got it blowing right in my face. Oh, man, I can't stand that. And she said, "No, I'm not trying to be mean, but you could get a booster seat and it wouldn't blow in your face." I know that woman loves me. But I don't like what she said. Well, you didn't have to go and say all that. She said, "Well, I'm not trying to be mean, but..." And then, I want to tell you this. She said, "The law says anybody under 4'9" is supposed to have one." I have, y'all know for information, I'm over 4'9". I'll prove it to you, but not right now. But I am who I am by the grace of God because He made me so wonderfully. Now, I didn't even get to get into the customized purpose and comprehensive purpose, but I didn't think I would get to anyway. I'm going to leave you with this thought, and then I've got to stop. Your calling is sacred. There's a way you have to go about getting it. Once you get it and it becomes sacred, God works in your life. When God works in your life, Romans 8:28 starts taking a whole new different meaning to you. That's all I got this morning. May I got anything you'd like to say? And I am not 4'9". Yes, ma'am.